Welcome to Couch Buddies. I'm Kia.
I'm Michelle.
And today we're talking about a New Zealand movie. This is not one out of Hollywood. It's a New Zealand movie called Lovebirds.
Lovebirds was made in 2011. It stars Rhys Darby, Sally Hawkins, and Brian Brown.
Mm-hmm.
There is no Rotten Tomatoes score for it because it is a...
It's not a Hollywood. It's not a Hollywood film. Yeah,
it's more of an independent international film. It's a little bit harder. But there is a 6 out of 10 for it on IMDb.
Which is a lot higher than I would give it. I have issues with this movie.
Okay.
I'm not gonna come and say I outright hate it.
I liked aspects of it. I felt like aspects of it could have been cleaner.
Yes. It definitely. Craig is fucking pointless to me.
I have that note.
Literally, the moment at the end when Doug uses his bike to chase after his car.
That's the most useful.
I was like, literally, that is the only purpose for Craig in this entire movie. It could have been a random bicycle that he stole, and we never would have had to have Craig.
So true. Why don't you give the synopsis?
Yes. Oh my God.
Because this is going to be a harder one to find for a lot of people.
Yes. Currently, right now, at the time of recording, it's available to watch on Amazon Prime. If you can't get it to watch on Prime, you'd probably be able to rent it there on Amazon. You can find anything on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the synopsis of this movie is, from the moment an injured duck crash lands on Doug's roof, everything changes. Recently dumped and wallowing in self-pity, Doug decides to nurse Pierre, the duck, back to health with the assistance of an eccentric vet and a bird specialist named Holly.
Okay. I'm going to say something weird before we start. Rhys Darby...
Yes.
The actor reminds me of, a New Zealand Martin Freeman.
A little bit.
With a little Simon Baker sprinkled in. It's really weird. I don't know why. There were a couple of times in this movie he reminded me of, younger, not current Martin Freeman, but,
See, to me...
Martin Freeman early.
There were times in this movie that, to me, he looked and some of his mannerisms, he was an amalgamation of David Wenham and Hugh Jackman.
Wenham, I saw a few times too. There was something about, I think it was the way his hair, there's something about his
Could
hair,
be.
Like just his face, not necessarily his mannerisms or anything like that. But there were a couple of shots where his face reminded me of Martin Freeman, Love Actually Martin Freeman, era.
Yeah.
Sort of
sweet derpy guy.
Yeah. I don't know, there was something about it a couple of times. I was he's a taller Martin Freeman.
I wanted to watch this specifically because I adore Rhys Darby. I haven't seen him in a ton of things. One of the things that he's, most well-known for is Flight of the Conchords. I've only ever seen a couple of episodes of it. But there's a movie that he's in called Pirate Radio, which is, a huge amount of, so many famous British actors and, great music from the 60s. It's not a great movie. Richard Curtis should probably stick to rom-coms. But Rhys Darby, I don't know why, but he steals so many scenes that he's in. He's what my eye is drawn to in so many scenes in this movie. And this is a movie that also has, Nick Frost, Bill Nighy, and, Emma Thompson. Chris O'Dowd. So many people in this movie, but, Rhys Darby is the one that always, catches my attention. And he's such a weirdo in it. And I love him. And I have such an affection for him. And I see, you and I, happened upon this movie on Amazon when we were scrolling through.
And we watched the trailer.
Yeah, we watched the trailer. And we're like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's add it to the list. And, I wanted to watch it specifically because I adore Rhys Darby. And all in all, it could have been better. It's not outstanding.
The best way to describe it is it's not a, don't say not clean, that's the wrong word, because it's not dirty, but it's not a, what's the word?
It's not a tight movie.
Tight movie. I was thinking aerodynamic, which is a weird way to say it. But there are storylines and characters that don't matter in this movie.
See, yeah, to me, with the character of Craig, to me, I just, the entire movie, I kept thinking, cut out all of Craig's bullshit and give whatever he's doing to Brent or Kanga.
It's Brent, especially, because yeah. Brent was Craig without being rich.
Pretty much.
And Craig wasn't rich either.
Yeah.
Like, that to me seemed really pointless, other than to show us that he was a horrible... Like it told us about the character, but it didn't really give us a purpose in the movie.
The character of Craig, like, the usage of the character of Craig told us more about the character of Doug, because yeah. the moment, like, that he finds out that Craig's business has failed and now he's, like,
homeless.
Now he's homeless and dirt poor, Doug shows up, puts an arm around him, and was like, hey, mate, you're coming with me.
Whereas he has been kind of a tool this whole time.
Yeah, like, he doesn't been.
Not really there for. If he had been there for Doug, had been like a part of Doug's life, but you get that he's just kind of this really good friend that Doug has that no one else really knows.
Yeah,
and that it just seems removed from the rest of the movie. It would have made more sense. It was
the difference between like a friend from school meets work friends.
Yeah,
it would have made
more sense in this instance with everything we know about Doug. Like you said, to take Craig's scenes and put them on Brent, let him move Brent into his house, because Brent doesn't live in the shaggin' wagon, but he, I mean, come on.
I died when it actually said shaggin' wagon.
Yeah,
it was really funny. Oh my God.
But yeah, so we'll probably complain about that a fair bit. I had another thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was too slow at the beginning.
It was a bit slow at the beginning.
It takes 30 minutes, really, for our main characters to do anything with each other.
Yeah.
Other than, like, a passing, you're annoying, go away.
Yeah.
And I just felt like that was totally unnecessary. Like, it's like you said, it's not tight enough. Like, this movie could have been an hour and a half, easy. And it's an hour 41.
It feels like it's trying to be two different movies. It feels like it's trying to be this guy who now has a pet duck and his buddies, and a guy who has a pet duck who, like, falls in love with the bird specialist who helps him with the duck.
No, I didn't have a problem. The only character that I had a flat-out problem with was Craig.
Yeah, I mean,
all the other characters I felt like could have been...
I just meant, like, tonally. Like, at various times, it tonally feels like two different movies.
Yeah, and like, especially having her son and him having his buddies, it does make a little bit of a dissonance. I will say one thing about this movie that made it fabulous was the soundtrack.
Yes, it's all Queen songs. No, I take that back. It's not all Queen
songs.
It's
mostly Queen
songs. It's 98% Queen songs. And
which
it's
is great. Yeah.
Literally, my first note is, opens with Queen, I'm in.
I was like, opening song to me to love, and I was like, happy face.
Yeah.
And you find out that Doug is obsessed with Queen because of family stuff. Is this the other thing? The plot with the house gets totally dropped.
Yes.
Like, there's just a lot. It's not a... Tight is a good way of doing it. It's just... It's like they filmed their first draft.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like a student film script.
Yeah.
That ends up being made into a professional movie.
Yeah, it's like they just didn't know what to cut, and so they kept everything. To me, Craig's going to sound weird. I'm wondering if Craig was just like, hey, this guy's my friend and my writing partner or something, so we're going to put him in the movie.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's what it feels like, because he doesn't belong in this movie.
Like, the only purpose that he serves is to basically help Susan. I keep wanting to call her Sarah for some reason, okay. So if I do that, I apologize. Like, to basically make Susan realize, like, oh, I was an idiot for leaving Doug.
But even then... Honestly, that's another
weird
thing.
There are other ways to do it.
This is a weird thing in this movie. The shifting point of view.
Yes.
That's another thing I didn't like.
Yes.
It's what makes, I think, the first 30-ish minutes of the movie go by really slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Because we keep seeing little things with Holly and Brenda.
Brenda, yeah.
And we keep seeing little things with them, like little asides. Why? Here's my issue with it. If they had done it where we were fully going from these two people's perspectives,
mm-hmm.
then we would have seen her and her son a lot earlier.
Yes.
We would have seen...
But like, then we wouldn't have had the reveal of the kid that he was addicted to.
I already knew that.
Yeah,
like,
of
I
course.
Called that the moment it happened.
Right.
I was like, oh, that's her kid. Okay, that's what's going to happen here. But
it still made me laugh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But, like, this movie could have been about him bonding with this boy... And the mother, Which we've seen that movie.
And having a weird duck.
Yeah, and yeah. We've seen those movies, and they're good. The fact that the duck is obviously a metaphor for Doug is pretty easily, yeah, easy to see.
Absolutely.
It's enjoyable. Like, I like the fact that that's the case. Like, I like some of the parallels they draw at the end, yeah, of the movie with the wanting to fly and but being, yes, bound to something.
Yes.
It's very obvious.
Right.
But it's,
but sometimes
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, sometimes a metaphor has to be. But the whole, like, this movie is called Love Birds. It's the entire point, like, you have him being a bird specialist, and they fall in love. But yet this movie, like, conveniently abandons the duck at various points in the movie. Like, just, like, I don't know, just, like, all of a sudden...
The duck becomes the pet. It's just the dog in the Paris Hilton purse.
A little bit. But even, like, it's pretty much, like, for me, like, what, like, Restart Me is what sells this movie. Just, yeah, him, like, randomly interacting with a duck. It's funny.
Yes.
It's, like, it's very funny in places. But, like, it's, like, once the duck becomes a, like, once Pierre becomes, like, an established part of his life, then, like, Pierre just kind of goes on the shelf.
Yeah.
And so, like, I would have loved to have seen more stuff, like, with Taylor and his friend. What's his friend's name?
I don't remember his friend's name, but yeah. Taylor and
his
friend.
I would say
friend.
It's, like, Artie.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Like, Taylor and his friend, like, playing with the duck or, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean,
but, like,
the bonding moment is in there, and that's, yeah, great. But, like, it's like I said, this movie could have just been more streamlined. That's, mm-hmm, what I've been trying to think of.
There
the whole
we go.
Time.
Yes.
But yeah, it could have been a more streamlined film if they had just cut a few things here and there, but they were like, oh, this part's so, it's like we talked about in our, I think our last one.
With 2 weeks notice.
With 2 weeks notice. Sometimes they sacrificed the story for the moment.
Yeah, that, like, they sacrifice the...
And so 2 weeks notice we talked about as comedy, the moment for comedy. But, yeah, I think in this case, what they do is they sacrifice the story for a moment.
Yeah.
That they don't... Because, like, there are great moments between Craig and Doug. There's some really cool, mm-hmm, moments.
Yeah, there are...
But honestly, I feel
but
like...
But they don't serve the overall story.
The movie would have served better, in my opinion. You can tell me I'm right or wrong, I don't care. But for... If we had stuck with Doug the whole time, if we had never seen Sue and Craig sleep together, if we had never seen the stuff with her and her, with Brenda and Susan at the zoo, really? I mean,
you mean Brenda and Holly?
Holly, yeah, sorry. Brenda and Holly at the zoo. I think you would have been just as well if you had stayed with him the whole time. Especially at the beginning of the movie when he's still settling into the duck. And, like, he's at the vet and we're flashing back to this unrelated thing of her telling, of Brenda telling Holly she needs to get laid. And, like, the only good thing about that is we understand why Holly says yes.
It's like, literally all those scenes were, to me, were like, okay, we've passed the Bechdel test now.
Yeah. I just didn't,
yeah,
I didn't see a point to them as, I mean, for the Bechdel test, yeah, like I said, it's a moment. It's not the story. Like, the story isn't about her getting laid. So all of Brenda's stuff about you need to go get some doesn't work for me.
Right.
It's another one of those dropped moments.
For me, yeah. Like, I think this movie could have done without, like, the sub, or not, it's not even a subplot, but, like, it's like a D plot of Brent and Brenda.
I didn't mind that.
I didn't mind it, but at the same time, like, if we're trimming fat from the movie.
Yeah. But I was just looking at it as a story, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what, because we've talked about this
before. Like, to be perfect, like, I there are things in this movie, like, I would have sacrificed to have seen more with, like, with Kanga and, oh, the Sikh guy. I've completely spoken his name.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I loved them.
I did too.
Them giving Brent crap was,
yes,
my favorite thing. Like, them going, you're an idiot, we do it this way for a reason, was one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Speaking as people who have worked in...
Their niche.
Speaking as people...
I don't forget.
Yeah, speaking as people who have worked in service industries and industries where you have to work with people, and sometimes working with people is... They don't understand why you do the things you do.
Yeah.
Because, like, sometimes there's reasons we do the things we do in a store, or... you know, at different jobs that we've worked. Mm-hmm. And the new people don't get it. And you're like, oh, they're like, oh, I'm just trying to fix it and make it better. Yeah, but see, we have to stack it this way because if we don't, it all collapses about 2 hours from now and we have broken dishware everywhere.
Right.
Like, that happened to me. It's like, I'm just trying to straighten the shelf. Yeah, but you're straightening the shelf while it's still, it's a glass shelf and you still have glasses on it. You can't straighten the shelf.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just one of those things that I get and I really love in this mm-hmm. movie. That's very true.
Right. The, I'm like, it feels like there are, I don't want to say like missed opportunities, but I think you said it best that going back to what we had said about 2 weeks notice, where it feels like they sacrifice romance for comedy, that this movie sacrifices the good of the story for like good moments.
Yes.
And
good moments are great, but they don't make a story.
Like, yeah, this is a movie of moments, basically.
Yeah, and that's the biggest flaw with it, is it's a yeah. movie of moments. There are brilliant moments in it, and there are stupid moments in it that I don't like.
Such as?
A lot of the stuff with Susan coming back, I don't like the way it's done. I feel like it was really heavy-handed and awkward.
It was very heavy-handed. I didn't appreciate it. And
the way that certain stuff happens, like him telling her and just saying, so we're over, rather than going, hey, is it okay if I have dinner with her and just...
Yeah.
Just like that. Because we do have 2 years behind us that means something. And I should at least go have the decency to talk to her and see if we can...
Yes. It was... It's...
Because then when he does come, he doesn't even get to give... It's way later in the movie. We haven't talked about the movie very much at all. But... Because, like, there's a scene where he figures out he loves Holly and wants to be with Holly.
Yeah.
And he does the rom-com chase home, sort of.
Yeah.
He's really chasing the duck. But he winds up going to her house and shows up there, you know, Rain. And she's bawling. She's like, I don't know. You chose someone else over me. That's it. But that's not what happened.
No.
That's never what happened. He went to have dinner with Susan, and I think she may want to get back together. I'm going to go talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think it's fair to... set his affairs in order before he tries to be with a woman who has a kid.
Yes. But it's the classic trope of miscommunication.
Yeah, like, but this movie didn't need it.
I know. I was going to say, it's the classic thing of miscommunication driving a wedge.
Yeah.
And so because it's, you kind of get the idea throughout this movie that, like, Doug doesn't necessarily know what he wants, but, like, he's comfortable with what he has.
Yeah. And, oh, absolutely. I wrote that down.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's comfortable with what he has, and when those things are taken away from him, or like, because you can see very quickly, he gets very comfortable in this new dynamic that he has with Holly and Taylor.
Yes.
And so then for Susan to come barreling back in, it's upset that balance, like that comfortability that he had. And so it makes sense for him to want to try to put that in order, but he's a person who doesn't know what he wants. And exactly. So,
and rather than him saying that, which I think could have been just as good of a moment.
Yes.
And just as good, it would have served his character in the story better.
Yeah.
For him to look at her and go, I don't know what to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would have served Holly better as a character.
Agreed.
Because Holly's reaction isn't what I would have expected either when he shows up at the door. Like,
yeah,
because she doesn't even let him explain, doesn't let him say, you know, I realize yeah, and that like you, that, like he's gone, he hasn't even gone on a full date with this woman for all, like, you don't know what happened.
Yeah.
And so for her to just immediately shut him down.
And you made your choice, like, that's it.
Was problematic to me.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't make sense from where she came from.
We don't know enough about her. In some aspects, like, it makes sense of, like, okay, if this is how he's going to be, like, I have an impressionable child.
Yes.
And so it would make sense to, like, if this is how he's going to be, I need to cut him out now.
That's true.
Yeah.
But to at least, I felt like she should have at least, like, gone out the front door and listened to him. And then once he said that, let him say his piece, because otherwise you have a dangling thread.
Yes.
For yourself. Like, and she seems to know that as a character early on in the movie. But then, I don't know, she gets dumber at different times. It's weird. I really enjoy, like, the two of them together. I think they have great chemistry. That's really cute.
Yeah, they're both characters are very charming.
Yes.
And Sally and Reese have a good chemistry together.
Yeah. But there's just something about the way that those scenes were done.
Yeah.
That I don't know, it just felt, it felt like it made the whole thing disingenuous.
Yeah.
Because to me, honestly, other than the duck flying away, which had to happen, and that had to be the thing in the movie that spurred him into making his last,
yes, absolutely,
his last big gesture. Honestly, I want to start what I need to do is start a checklist for rom-coms.
Because, we need one.
Because this movie checks all of them.
How have we gone this long without
creating one? I don't know. I was thinking about it earlier today. But
we make a checklist when we make our rom-com bingo.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, just to be, to, because you have, like, we haven't talked point by point in this movie. We can if you want to. There's something about, like, the way the movie ends. You have big romantic gesture, big romantic gesture, chase, big romantic, like, it felt like there was a lot of romantic, yes, gestures, and then you have to have the metaphor of the duck, which is fine, but I think it got pulled out too long.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sorry, you said, the way you were saying big romantic gesture, like, rejection, you know, all of these things, is like, oh my god, it's clicked into place. He's a Ted Mosby.
A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Like,
I would say he's better than Ted, because I don't really like Ted Mosby as a character. He's a bit Ross Geller for me.
I am Ted, so.
But yeah, I see that. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I do love that, like, I'll put it this way. He's a self-aware Ted Mosby.
Yes.
In that, because at the very end of the, like, at the very end of the movie, you know, where he's... Hold on, I have the line. He's having, like, this big romantic gesture, and he's doing this, like, he's basically trying to give her, like, the fantasy she's always wanted. They say some rom-com cliche kind of thing, and they're standing there, and, like, he's kind of holding her, and she just kind of looks at him and goes, "You're a bit of a dick, you know that?" And he's like, "A little bit."
Yeah, and he's aware of it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's absolutely aware of it. And, like, she's ready to call him on it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, I don't know, like, the Ted Mosby thing just popped into my head.
It's, like, that's, yeah, a fair thing. But it's not, when I say rom-com movie checklist, I mean, like, we have the injured man at the beginning, because he gets dumped at the first 2 minutes of the movie.
Yes.
Like, before you get the title card, he gets dumped.
Yes.
And then you have, you know, there's just a lot of, like, check things on a checklist that would fall in with this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a strange, like,
It was like rom-com soup.
Yeah. They threw a bunch of stuff in and didn't figure out that they should trim some of the fat out.
Yeah.
And that's all. Like, honestly, if they trimmed Craig out and if they trimmed a few of the other scenes, I think it would be a much better film.
Yeah. To be, like, what we were talking about earlier, like, some of the stuff, like, some of the seemingly unnecessary scenes with, like, Holly and Brenda at the zoo, it almost feels like B-roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. That they put in to try to make the movie longer, which...
Yeah, because, and, like I said, my issue with it isn't that it's two women talking, and I think that's great. My issue is you have a certain point of view in this movie, and you abandoned it at this moment. Like, there's a couple of times they abandon it, because clearly it's supposed to be from Doug's point of view, but there are several moments when they abandon it, and they end up showing what's going on here, like, what's going on, like, at the zoo, but times when it would be useful to abandon it, like, showing us her reaction when she gets back in the van after he tells her he's going to, yes, see Susan.
And some of the scenes, like, with Holly and Taylor.
Yeah.
Like, that's a time to abandon it, but...
But it would have been... They abandon it when they shouldn't, and they don't abandon it when they should.
Okay.
Because, like I said, the scene with Holly and Taylor, that is fantastic and super necessary, and I'm glad that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, him being mad that she's dating someone is great.
Yes.
But showing us flipping back to the zoo, it felt randomly. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like it was a smooth transition. It just felt random.
Yeah.
That's a problem for me. But then, like, when in between, basically... The zoo, the end of the movie at the zoo, mm-hmm, safari night, and after he talks to her, that would have been a good moment to keep it, to, like, see her side of things a little bit rather than his. But we stay with his point of view so much that we miss big things with her.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like, because you're giving us all these point of views and you want us to see it from everybody's side, but then you take that away from us when it comes to the point we need to see it from their side.
Yeah.
Does that make more sense? Like, I probably don't make any sense, but that's the only way I can describe it. It's like when you're writing, because we've written fanfic, we've talked about this before, and we've written original stuff on our own and stuff. But, like, when you're writing something, like, for you or I, like, an Elena thing, you tend to stick in Elena's point of view. Occasionally, when it's necessary for the story, you switch to the other big character in the story.
Yes.
Because there are some moments where it's absolutely necessary and fabulous when you do it, but I'm thinking of Remember When It Rained, specifically.
Oh, God. Why? Why did you mention
it? It's an original fic. Like we're going to call it original and move on. It's RPF, but we're going to call it original and move on. But there's just things that happen when you're watching another movie spoiler alert for Let's Go Infinity Wars, okay?
Right.
That movie is told mostly from Thanos' perspective.
Pretty much, yeah.
They abandon it to it's also kind of told from the Infinity Stone perspective, if you want the other way to look at it. A little bit, yes. And they abandon that when it's necessary, but they show you what is important to what's going on in the story.
Mm-hmm.
This felt like they were showing you moments that weren't important to the story, and I didn't understand why.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Like, they just didn't have a defined perspective.
Yeah.
I'm going way weird on this. Sorry, I don't know why.
No.
But it's just the way that, like, I'm trying to figure out why, because I like aspects of the movie a lot. Like I said, the soundtrack alone made my heart giddy for the afternoon. But yeah, there's just something about...
I do have a theory that the use of Queen for pretty much the entire soundtrack was just for the bicycle moment.
Oh, man. That's great. Well, and his nickname is clearly...
His nickname is Flash, yeah.
So clearly for that moment. Yes. But yes. So, I mean, there's just something about it that there's not... I don't think it's a bad movie. I don't think it's a good movie, if that makes sense. Like, I think it's okay.
It feels very much like a made-for-TV rom-com.
Which we've watched a lot.
Yeah.
And we've watched some really good ones, and this is not one of the really bad ones.
Yeah.
If that makes
sense. We have seen some truly awful ones.
Yeah.
Well, this is not truly awful.
Yeah. In most of the made-for-TV ones we watched, there would have been, like, two friends, and that would have been it.
Right.
You would have had Brenda and Brent, and nobody else.
Pretty much.
So I appreciate that aspect of it. Like it did make the world stay bigger. Mm-hmm. It did... Like, I loved the stuff with the professor and the professors, the quiz night, the pub night stuff. I love that stuff. I
love the pub night stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
I want pub trivia somewhere. Like, I want it.
But yeah, there's just lots of stuff, like, in this movie that gets picked up and dropped off again. And really carry through, like it should.
You and I were just watching one of our favorite voice actors give an interview, Taliesin Jaffe.
Mm-hmm.
We were just watching that, and he made the point. He's like, when people are complaining about a movie, they're not always complaining about the thing they think they're complaining about.
Yeah.
And when I heard him say that, I'm like, yeah, that's really going to apply to this movie.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, that's part of the reason I think I'm going so in-depth with it, like, thinking through.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there's some editing issues, I think, strongly.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the performances are horribly bad.
I think the performances are great.
I think some of the dialogue isn't great.
Agreed.
I think some of, like I said, the editing choices I don't think are good.
Yeah.
It feels
clunky.
Clunky, yeah. And you know, I would not be surprised if we looked it up and this was like one of the first things this director ever did. It would not surprise me at all. Just because there are things that are not done deftly like you would expect them to be.
Yeah.
And now that we've complained about all of this movie. I don't think it's a bad movie.
I don't think it's...
I think it's enjoyable. You just have to be willing to sit through some of the boring stuff.
Basically, just if you turn your brain off and don't think about it, you're going to enjoy the movie.
Yeah.
It's just... Yeah, it's just not... There's not a ton of depth to be plumbed with this one.
That's true.
Like, there's some great... You know, it's like some... Like, the metaphor is obvious, but it's still effective.
It's still good. Yeah, I think it's still enjoyable.
It's still effective. Like you said, Rhys Darby... Like, all of his stuff with the duck, it's hilarious.
That duck is beautiful, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
That duck is freaking gorgeous. I wrote that three different times.
It's like a painted shell duck or something.
It's a shell duck.
Yeah, it's a shell duck. It's found only in New Zealand.
Yeah, they call it something else, but I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't remember. Basically, it's like, it's not specifically, like, a duck.
It's more related to the goose family than the duck.
It's more
family.
Related to, like, a goose or a swan, yeah. But yeah, it's just, the name of it is a duck.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just glanced down at my notes and I realized there was one good thing about Craig. And it was, he gave us the line. It was after, after Doug goes to him and mm-hmm. says that Susan has left him. The only good thing that Craig did in this movie was he gave us the line. She was always higher octane than your engine was designed for.
That was not the line that I loved. Oh, I did really like that line. I liked when he's like, yeah, it kicks right in the gonads. And the immediate response from, that's what Craig says.
Yeah.
The immediate response from Doug was, it's my heart, Craig, not my gonads. Like, I don't know why that made me laugh so hard. Craig, it also tells you everything you need to know about Craig.
Yeah.
There's one other thing in this movie that made me laugh. Like, I had to pause it when it came to Craig. Number one, I wrote Craig's a pig like 4 times too.
Yes.
But he sleeps with Susan, to jump ahead, like from beginning to
Brent,
the middle. Brent sleeps with Susan because I think he does it specifically because he knows she just broke up. And so he's like, she's vulnerable.
Well, and to be fair, he knows that she's easy prey.
That was swoop. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because, not only just because she just broke up, or, she just got out of a long-term relationship, but also the fact that, from all appearances, he has the life that she's after.
Yes. When they wake up the morning after, did you catch his bedside table?
No.
Douche Nozzle has a picture of himself. On his nightstand.
I did not see that.
Yeah, I paused it. I don't remember why I paused it. I think I got to go to the restroom or something. And I came back and glanced at the screen. And I see on the nightstand, I went, wait. What? Sure enough, if you look at the nightstand, there is a framed, a small framed picture, like you would put a loved one in, of himself.
Oh my gosh. No,
it's just barely over her shoulder as she's laying in bed.
I did not notice that.
For me, that's what I went. That tells you everything about this character.
Douche you need canoe. To know.
Yeah, he is a self-involved jerk.
Yeah.
Yes, he slept with this chick and is leaving her in his apartment. And that's and she clearly wanted more and he is not into that.
Yeah.
But that's, to me, having a framed picture of yourself yourself. It's like a
hold on, no. That is Tony Stark level of narcissism right there.
Tony Stark wouldn't even do that. He would have someone else in the picture with him. It would be Rhodey. It would be Pepper. Now maybe Tony pre-Iron Man 1 would do that.
That's what I meant.
Pre-Iron Man 1 Tony, sure, maybe. But even
hold on. Amendment. Justin Hammer.
Yes, Justin Hammer would do that. That I'm on board with. See, we could get into a really deep delving into Tony Stark's character and why I don't think he would do that if you really want to go there.
It was just the first thing that popped into my head.
I'm just saying, I can go there. I have thought about that man I just find him fascinating.
Oh, me too.
And I identify with him so much. Self-hatred is a thing, and Tony Stark is great at it.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the most fascinating
characters. But that's why I don't think he would have a picture of himself next to his
best.
Justin Hammer, yes.
I was literally just thinking, the most narcissistic character I could think of, and Tony Stark was the first one.
It's a good one.
Yeah. It's I should have gone with Sherlock Holmes, but he's not a photo guy, so.
Yeah, that's true. And we all know he'd have a picture of Watson beside his bed anyway. Don't mean it like that. I just mean the most important person in his life.
But sorry, yeah, I see too much on Tumblr.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. Who doesn't see that on Tumblr? But yeah, I found that to be the most telling thing
mm-hmm.
about Craig was that picture. I'm glad that you didn't catch it, and I got to tell you something that you didn't see.
That. Mwah.
But the other thing about this movie that I found weird. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of going into the story a little bit, but so Susan moves out. He's depressed. We get a lot of mm-hmm. that. And then he's cleaning out the house suddenly and trying to move on. I felt really out of,
not to me. That was liquid courage.
No. Not just, that's not what I mean. I meant that's something else that gets dropped later. It's one of those things that gets dropped to me. But the part that I was getting to, the duck is on top. He finds the duck on his roof because a dog is barking at it. Yada, yada, yada. The duck is hurt. He takes it to work. I immediately went, why didn't you take it to a vet? What's wrong with you? what's wrong with you? And then one of his, Brent says, vets are a ripoff. And I went, oh my God. So you're taking it to the zoo rather than a vet, because that's like, it felt like such a crowbar move.
Yeah,
to me. Did. To me, it would have been just as cool if he'd have taken it to, was it Brian Brown first?
I have to say, Brian Brown, like, well-known, like, well-known actor down under, but I think one of the only movies I've ever seen him in is a truly, truly god-awful Tom Cruise movie called Cocktail. it's deliciously bad. It's a guilt, like, anytime anybody asks me a guilty pleasure movie, I tell them that one, because that is the only one I ever have shame about. But I love Brian Brown in that movie.
And he plays the vet in this.
He plays the vet who's a weirdo, and I adore him.
But it would have worked just as well for me, because it felt so crowbar-y that he went, that's how their meet cute was he was bringing this duck to the zoo? Like, that just didn't...
To be fair, like...
And she's just so dismissive of him, and, like, that's not a thing you do. You take it to a vet, you don't bring it to me. So, like, it would have been interesting to me, just from my perspective, if he had gone to the vet first.
Yeah.
And the vet had been like, if you have any questions, you know, I know a lot, but you might think about asking, you know, so-and-so.
It did seem a little bass-ackwards.
Yeah, it just didn't make sense. Like, this movie would have worked just as well if she was a vet.
Yeah, true.
That's the thing. Like, why did she have to be a zoo worker? Why couldn't... You know, there's a lot of other things. Or why couldn't she have been a vet at the zoo? If you have to have her at the zoo.
Your question of why does she have to be a zoo worker, it suddenly made me think of, because in all rom-coms, nobody can ever have a normal job.
Fair.
So.
That's why I kind of like his job. His is actually fairly normal. Like,
yeah.
It's a thing.
He works on a road crew.
Yeah. On a maintenance crew. Because they do other stuff too. But yeah. I don't know. There's just something about that to me. It's like, why couldn't she be like a vet that also works at the zoo part time? Like,
yeah.
If you have to have her at the zoo, honestly, Brian Brown's character doesn't need to be in the movie other than being something fun and eccentric. And I like him fun and eccentric. I like the scene where they're trying to get the bird to fly out of a balloon.
Because it's like, we have him, and this is like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon that I played with, like the reasons Craig was in this movie. Is because if we don't have eccentric vet, then we don't have the hot air balloon. So then we don't have the big final grand gesture at the end. Because if she's the vet at the zoo and his character is rendered unnecessary, then we don't have that grand moment. And we also don't get the setup of like of him being a man afraid to fly.
Yeah. I can see that.
Like,
I think there are ways it could have been done
differently.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, like, agreed.
It just didn't... There was a lot of things that just didn't add up for me in that. Like, that part felt really forced. Like, it was like, we have to make these characters meet. Here we are. Yep, they're going to meet for a dumb reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, of course she's annoyed with him. Like, that makes complete sense that she would annoy him. However, Brenda is amazing. Just gonna throw that out there.
Okay.
Brenda pulling, like, talking to the kids and pulling the frickin' bunny out of the freezer.
Oh my God. The dead rabbit.
I about lost my crap. So I was like, that is amazing. Like, I know. See, I worked at a museum in college for part of the time I was in college. And I never ran it, thank God, because there's no way I would have done it. We had a room called Discovery Room.
Uh-huh.
Where we would have school groups come in.
Yes.
And they had, like, pelts that they could touch in there, like anything in there other than the rest museum, anything in this room could be touched. Like, that's kind of why it existed, was anything in these like couple of rooms,
an interactive room,
were for kids to be able to touch. But we also kept like pet mice in there at one point. We kept different, I don't remember what else we kept in there, but we had like things like that in there, and I'm just like, yeah, nope. just nope, I never want that job.
Yeah, oh my God, the museum on campus,
I would have been the person who'd been like, see. We also had a guy named Steven that I worked with, and Steven and I were really good friends. Steven was the kind of guy who would be like, this is how this pelt was taken from this creature, and let me describe it to you in detail. I don't care that you're a third grader. That's the kind of guy he was.
Right.
Needless to say, he never worked Discovery Room.
Right.
But I'm that kind of, like, I found that kind of crap hilarious. Like, that would have made me super happy. So anytime you traumatize children by explaining to them that animals eat other animals... I'm on
the,
board.
Yeah, that presentation that Brenda is giving to these school children, like, that is the presentation that I would have killed to have been there for when I was a child. Like, I would have laughed my ass off.
When she said it was the Easter Bunny.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, oh, honey, no.
Like, they're basically giving a presentation to a group of small children
About various
birds of prey, it looks like.
Yeah.
Like, various birds.
Yeah, because, like, they bring out this dead frozen rabbit.
Yeah.
It cuts to the kids crying, but, like, you just hear her voiceover, like, let's bring out the falcon.
Yeah. And so, yeah, there's just, it's, for me, that's Brenda is just the worst, and I love her in so many ways. She also is the one who finagles it so that Doug comes over for dinner.
Yes, later. That Doug goes to Holly's for dinner.
Yeah, because she is trying to get her friend and boss to move on from her husband, who's also separated, her.
They were separated, and then her husband died.
Died, yes. So, I mean, there's a lot of, like, that's a lot to unpack anyway.
Right.
And they don't do a really great job at unpacking that either. Like, I think it would have been, this is going to sound weird, the fact that they were separated. And it's clearly, he was 6 when his dad died. And he's what?
He's 8.
8?
Yeah.
So I think it would have been okay if they hadn't been separated.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been fine. It would have made it's she still would have been skittish because losing someone is hard. And so I just, yeah. It was a lot, that's a lot to unpack in a movie.
I didn't
have a problem with it. Yeah. It was just strange. Like, to not.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. Like, it made sense to me in a weird way.
Yeah.
That given the fact, because basically, like, what you figure out is that Taylor's dad was kind of his hero.
Yeah.
And so the fact that, like, his parents were separated, it gives him a reason to be prickly with his mom and thinking that she, like, giving the underlying layer of, like, giving the kid a reason to be upset with his mom.
Yeah.
Because it would be easy for a kid to think, like, well, you drove dad away and then he died.
I can see that.
Yes.
But it never really goes that step. That's the thing.
It does, but, I don't know, like, to me it was inferred.
I understood some of it.
Yeah.
The only thing that makes me pull back from that infer, whatever, is that moment in the bathroom when he's talking to her and he's like, I don't need to go out with him. And she's, you know, she tells him he's the most important person to me, all that kind of stuff. That seems like something that would have been thrown in anger had that been the case. Like, I just felt like, see, that's something that might have been thrown more.
To me, it did feel like that was in anger.
They're so heavy-handed in so many other areas.
Yeah.
That I felt it would have been more heavy-handed in this, if that makes sense.
It does, but it's hard to direct children.
That's fair.
So,
that's fair.
I don't, like, to me, that made a lot of sense. Because it would make sense that, you know, you drove dad, like, dad moved out, and then dad died, and so why should you get to move on?
I guess I didn't take it that way, because he comes in and goes, I had a dad, I don't want another one, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I never took it the way you're talking about.
Well, my parents also divorced.
Yeah, so you have a different view of it than I do.
Yeah, so to me, it's, and I was, oh God. I was 14, 15.
Yeah.
When my parents divorced. And, like, you know, those were definitive thoughts that I had. And so seeing, you know, just this, like, little microcosm that we have of the relationship between Holly and her son, Taylor, mm-hmm. and all of this baggage that they have with the separation and the death of his, you know, Taylor's father,
mm-hmm.
Some of it made absolute sense to me. Like, there was no need to unpack any of that. Like, I just got it. But
yeah, I can see.
Yeah, it's like, but I can see, like, where other people wouldn't. It was like, but to me, it was just like, yeah, that's my life. I see it. So, but, you know, some random, like, points for this movie. Doug kind of waffles a bit over, like, what he's going to do with the duck.
Yeah.
Because, like, the vet's name is Dr. Buster. He says that either, like, because the bird is injured, its wing has been shot, and so it's probably not ever going to be able to fly again. So he says that either the bird should either be put down or the bird can be healed and then fostered. And he's like, you know, like, I can probably find somewhere to take, like, I can probably find somewhere to put the bird, but it's going to take a few days. Yeah. And so Doug says, well, he'll take him in the meantime.
Yeah.
And
they finally find the place to foster them.
Puddle Duck Farm. And it is a crazy lady who has a million ducks and they all have hats.
Yeah. Rather than a crazy cat lady, it's a crazy duck lady.
Yes.
And I have never seen a duck look as sad
as that duck looks.
When he's driving, like, he drops it off and he's driving away. He's got this little, the duck has this little sailor hat that says Pierre on it. And,
oh my God.
And poor Doug is driving away and looks into the mirror and there's just like this little sad, like, seriously, I've never seen, like, this
duck. You've never seen a duck emote?
But that duck emoted that. Like, that's the only time in the movie I think he really did. But man, that shot was good.
It was so
He just looked like sad duck. Like, it's just like smoked.
It was, yeah, absolutely.
Like his will had been broken.
Exactly.
And so Doug goes back and gets him and takes him home.
Yeah.
But they also discover on that ride that the duck likes Queen too. Which is why they're
soulmates.
They're soulmates.
They, like, after this, we have, like, Doug goes back, you know, to try to get some more help from Holly.
He's like, I'm keeping it. Can you come help me look at my house and tell me what I need to do to help this thing?
Yeah. And so Brenda, once again, playing the puppet master.
Yeah.
Sort of, like, pushes them together. And, like, yeah, they go by Doug's to make sure, you know, like, to help him get his habitat ready to have a duck living with him.
Yeah. Taylor thinks he's stealing something from the zoo. It's really funny. Taylor reaches into his pocket to call security or call the cops. He pulls out a Star Trek communicator. Nerd girl had to be happy about that. Also, since the dad's death, Taylor has become obsessed with the asteroid NT7.
NT7, yeah.
Real thing, which I thought was cool. That's a real, real thing. And because his dad died, now we can all die, or something to that effect. Like, it was a very interesting.
Yeah, it was very nihilistic for an 8-year-old. It's sometimes like he meets Taylor, but of course we don't know who the kid is at first, the time. Yeah. They fucking throw down with each other, and it's hysterical watching.
He throws the communicator into the lion.
Pit. It's just funny watching a grown ass man carrying a duck fighting with an 8-year-old. Like, it's just funny. Later, his maintenance crew, they get a work order for to fix a drain at the zoo. It's like an all day job, so there's plenty of interaction. Like, we get some awkward chatting with Holly and Doug, and then Brenda. He says, oh, you know, could I, you know, you've been such a great help, like, with Pierre, like, could I maybe take you out for dinner or drinks?
To say thank you.
Yeah, to say thank you. And she says she has plans. And then Brenda swoops in and is like, oh, you know what? I have to cancel plans for dinner tonight. Maybe, Doug, why don't you step in? It's like,
she can't really say
basically,
no.
Basically, Brenda, like, to harken back to 2 weeks' notice, Brenda has a degree in Yenta.
Yes. So he goes, as we find out, Taylor is Star Trek communicator kid.
Yeah.
That's when we get he and his friend are making the paper mache
asteroid. Yeah.
Because I'm me and I hadn't seen this movie for the record, I paused it and was like, I'm going to look at this asteroid because I'm so curious now. Only to be told everything I learned later in the movie. I was so disappointed. I was like, I'm going to do astronomy with me. Oh, no, I'm not.
Yeah, I have the note, duck purse! Exclamation point, just because it made me laugh that he pretty much puts the duck into, like, a bowling ball bag.
Yeah,
and carries him around.
Yeah, that's great. And then we find out, like, there's some really good stuff at the dinner between Doug and Holly. You start really getting to see how they could get along.
Yeah, they have this whole conversation about, you know, he mentions, you know, Taylor being, you know, really into space. And she says, yeah, you know, he gets that from me. You know, cause she tells him that she used to have, you know, this fantasy of, you know, like, you know, a spaceman, you know, coming to, cause like she grew up in like a small town in England,
in the UK,
in the UK and, you know, like wanted to be anywhere but there. And so she used to fantasize about, you know, a spaceman coming down to rescue her and, you know, say, let's go to the moon. And, And so, you know, he makes the comment and he's like, so you left there and came, you know, came to New Zealand. And she's like, yeah, well, it was the farthest away I could get.
Yeah.
So,
and that's when he says, I've never even left New Zealand. Yes. Like I'm too afraid of flying. So I've never gone anywhere.
Yeah.
And the weird thing, this is another one of those weird things in the movie. This is intercut with Craig picking up Susan.
Yeah. I hated that intercutting.
It felt so...
Like, if they were going to do it, it should have been left for two whole scenes.
Yeah. Like, it just felt really jarring.
Yes.
Do it the way they did it.
I did love the line. I did love the line in this conversation, or this whole back and forth between Holly and Doug. Because, like, they're talking, you know, how, like, he's never left New Zealand and, you know, all these things. And he says, Susan left me because my life was too small. And yeah. She says, well, it was her loss.
Yeah, I love that part.
Yeah, I did love that line. And then we have, you know, later, you know, I already had a dad. I don't want another one.
Yeah. And it's as Doug's getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
And Taylor's like, so my friend had a nightmare. And I need you to come sit with us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in other words, I had to get my mom away from this guy.
Yes, exactly.
And then, but Doug's like, well, I'm already leaving anyway. So it's nice seeing you. Yada, yada. But then this is another random thing. So he shows up at work the next day, right?
Mm-hmm.
We get the scene with Craig and Susan, and we already talked about that. We don't need to...
Welcome to singledom, he tells her.
Yeah. Part of me wondered if he did that just to be a jerk on behalf of his friend. Even though he never does anything for his friend until that moment, I wonder if that wasn't just a little, like, spark of the welcome to singledom line, especially. Yeah.
Craig is such a douche canoe with dubious motives. Like, it's hard to figure out, like, anything that he's doing in this movie. I hate Craig. Let's never talk about him again.
We got to have it one more time. But God other damn than it. That. So, the next day, Doug gets to work. This is going to be random, okay?
Okay.
Did you notice the t-shirt that the Sikh was wearing? I think it was the Sikh, yeah.
Grenish?
Yeah. I think it was him, yeah.
I remember there being a moment...
University of Missouri in Columbia, Missouri.
I did not see that one.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I had to stop the movie for a minute.
Oh my God. You watched this movie a lot closer than I did.
It was on the screen for a really long time. It's a bright yellow shirt.
No,
and,
I missed that.
And it's when Doug gets out of the car whistling after the
video. Yeah,
the
day. I remember that.
I stopped it and I went, that does not say what I think that says. There is no way it does. I just thought that was super random. That was a thing. Like, I'm tempted to pull the movie up right now and show you.
You say that, and my first thought is, like, this has to be a free box, like, situation.
That's what I thought. It's immediately what I thought. I was like, somehow he got that for free from somewhere, because that's the only thing that makes sense. But yeah, I just thought it was really funny, and I had to share it with you.
Oh my gosh.
After we were done recording, I will pull it up and show you, because it was...
No, I remember the scene. I don't remember, because you're saying, like, it was bright yellow. I guarantee my brain just glossed that over as being part of, like, the outer, like, reflective wear.
Yeah.
Like, not thinking anything about it.
I think it's a yellow shirt. I say yellow. I think it was yellow, but I know it said University of Missouri.
Holy Jesus.
And because I was like, wait, huh? Just made me laugh really hard. And I know that probably may not make you guys laugh as much, but it was just really, like, not disconcerting, but it was a disparate moment for me to go, why in the world is somebody wearing a Missouri t-shirt
in New Zealand?
Like, really? Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. But
oh gosh.
So yeah, then we have they're going out that night again.
Yeah. Taylor's being stroppy. Yeah, Brenda and Holly join the guys for pub quiz.
And they finally beat the professors.
Yeah.
Because
Brenda and Holly are smarter. Yeah.
And everyone loves Holly. She fits into his group.
Yes.
Based on what we see of Susan and what we know about Susan, there's no way she ever fit in that friend group.
No, not at all.
Not a single way she fit in that friend group.
No.
And the fact that he tells the boys at the first quiz night we see that she broke up with him means she was not a staple with him at the quiz night.
No, 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 no.
Like, you get the feeling Holly could become.
Right.
And that's great.
They have such an easy comfortability, like, with one another, like, during this whole time at the pub, like, Doug and Holly do. Like, it's great. Like, it's some of my favorite bits of the movie. Just seeing them, like, dancing. And
I was going to say, the dancing scene is one of my favorite scenes in this whole movie.
It's so good. And it's them being absolutely carefree, and the moment where, like, you've, like, as a viewer, you kind of feel the pieces start falling into place.
You're watching them fall for each other. Yes. Yeah, for sure. And like, that's also the moment Susan comes in and sees them dancing, and I immediately went, uh-oh.
Yeah,
but she turned around and walked back out. She didn't cause a scene, which was nice. And so, but they just look so happy out there mm-hmm. dancing. Like, this awkward, happy, like, and nobody treats it awkwardly, because he can't dance, but she played queen for him.
Right.
And how can he not go dance with her, because she played queen for him? I just love that, the giddy look on both of their faces. I know,
it's so good.
And then when they come back that night to her house, and, like, that moment when she checks on her son and he's in the door just watching them. Like, I adore that moment. He immediately starts looking around for things he can connect with Taylor on.
Yeah.
Like, he's immediately like, I'm going to connect with this kid. It's going to be a thing that happens.
Right. And, like, I love.
Also, the moment she hands him her purse.
I know, that absolutely cracked me up. I loved the quietness of everything at her house.
Yeah.
That they are trying, like, everything is in hushed voices. Like, there's a stillness, even though, like, they're giggling. It's that, you know, like, there, it's that late night quiet of a sleeping house.
Yeah.
Where, like, you don't want to disturb that. Like, you don't want to be loud. And, like, and also, you know, just as a parent, like, you don't want to wake up your sleeping child. Like, but they're having such a good time in each other's company. And so, like, they're laughing in whispers.
They're also a bit tipsy.
A little bit. But I love it. Yeah. And, you know, they do have a kiss. And, like, she sends him out the door. And then he comes back and he's like, I still have your purse.
Yeah. And he forgot his.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he forgot his bag with Pierre.
And so then the next thing we really have is well, I'm going to skip it because she wouldn't allow to talk about him anymore.
Voldemort's business fold.
Yeah, so Doug, being the nicest guy in the world, has his friend move with him. But then Susan, in quotations, runs into
Doug
at the market.
At the market, yeah.
And
it's awkward.
It made me really happy, though, at first. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of that scene that made me happy, because she says, well, unless, you know, you're seeing someone, we know she knows.
Yeah, yeah.
But he immediately is like, yeah, I kind of am, actually. This is awkward. But yeah, I kind of am seeing someone. So, yeah.
And I love that he's the one who gets to say the line, we can still be friends.
Yeah. After what she did to him.
It's choice.
So, yeah. Then he takes Taylor to the cricket game, and that's just a really fun.
It's Doug takes Taylor and
the boys.
Yeah. And his work crew and he who shall not be named.
And the duck.
I'm tired of talking. And of course, yeah, they get on the Jumbotron and, like, national television because they have the duck in the stands.
That part is so cute.
It's adorable.
And that's the moment he really connects with Taylor.
Yep.
And that's also the moment where, I forgot his name, the other guy on the work crew. I forgot his name.
Kanga?
Yeah.
Or
Kanga. Gish. Kanga. That's the moment where Kanga tells, like, because the boy tells him about NT7.
Yeah.
And so Kanga just offhand knows about NT7. And so he tells Doug, yeah.
Well, it's going to miss us by a country mile.
But I didn't want to ruin his dreams.
Yeah.
I love that part. And so that's when Craig's like, gets an idea. Or not Craig, Doug. I don't know why I said Craig. It's written next to Doug.
I'm shaking a no-no can at you. It's terrible audio, but mentally I'm doing it.
But that's when Doug gets an idea, and he tells Holly that night when he drops them off, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Nothing. Okay, I'll be here about 10. I'll
pick you up at 10, yeah.
And she's like, okay. And he's like, you and Taylor, we're going somewhere. We're going. And then, so then he gets the call from
Susan
and she brings up a lot of good points with him. Like, they do have 2 years invested in each other, and walking away from that seems like a lot. And she's crying fakely because she turns it off as soon as he agrees.
Yeah.
And a lot of men do not know how to deal with a crying woman. They just don't. Like, it's a straight up, they don't know how to deal with it thing.
Yeah. To put a point on that, I remember when, we were playing some, like, we had rolled some new D&D characters, some, like, level ones, because we wanted to try out some other classes that we hadn't done, and I was literally playing a pretty, pretty princess. And I said something that was like, well, I'm just going to start crying. And like, I'm like wailing at this man because I'm not getting what I want. Or like, I think I'm in trouble. And Josh, you are the worst. Like Josh turning on me, like, you are the worst. You literally just cast crying woman. You are the worst.
To be fair, my husband, like, Josh hates guilt, and when people try to guilt people, like, he just ignores it, because, like, it doesn't work. Speaking as a wife, it doesn't work.
Right.
I can nag, and I can guilt, and those are the two ways to make sure he doesn't do something, uh-huh. ever. So, yeah, that's why he hates that so much.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, it's so funny.
It cracked me up.
But a lot of guys just don't know how to deal with a crying right. woman. They just straight up don't. Just
people in general don't know what to do it's when, like, other people cry.
It's like, give them what they want and back away slowly and hope it works. Yeah. And that's basically what happens here at first, is yeah. she tells him, I want you back. And mm-hmm. it's everything he's supposed to want.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's confused.
It's what he wanted at the beginning of the movie.
And now he's super confused as to what does he do.
Yeah. But the next morning he takes him to the planetarium, and one of the professors who they beat at pub quiz,
mm-hmm.
is explaining, you know, like what's going to happen within T7.
He shows it to him on yes, the planetarium. So great. Yes.
And then later, you know, they're all,
they're out at a park.
Yeah. They're out at a park. We see like Pierre kind of in the foreground, and the boys, because it is Artie and Taylor.
They're chasing each other yeah. and having fun. And Doug opens his mouth to tell her.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been a much better way than how he winds up telling her.
Yeah.
And Pierre goes missing, and Doug loses his mind because
yeah.
Pierre is everything to him. Like,
yeah.
That Pierre has been there with him. I mean, to talk about the metaphor a little bit, he was broken and so was Pierre, and mm-hmm. now they've healed together, and there's this bond.
Yes.
That with him and Pierre, and so he can't not have Pierre. Like, yeah, he has to have
him. He has to have Pierre. Now Pierre has become an extension of him.
Yes. And so it starts pouring rain as they're looking.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, Pierre going missing, and it's in the middle of this like thunderstorm.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Doug is panicking. Doug is freaking out. Like, yeah. I totally understand that. And Holly says, you know, we're all so fond of him, you know, especially me. He brought us together, didn't he? And that's the moment that he chooses to tell her, like, oh, yeah, Susan called, and she wants to have dinner.
I think she wants to get back together.
Yeah.
And rather than saying, I'm just going to go to dinner and see what happens, like, I'm not saying yeah. everything's over between us or anything like that, which is what he should have said because he's a bonehead, but whatever. So she obviously is very upset and runs back to the van. He continues looking for Pierre, who knows how much longer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all kind of split up and go their separate ways. They don't find Pierre until it occurs to Doug how to bring his baby home.
Yes. So he goes back to the park.
And turns on Queen and turns it up, opens the doors while it's raining, and just sits there and waits. And Pierre comes home yes. to Queen. I think that's
it's
beautiful.
So great.
And that's when he takes him back to make sure he's okay. He takes yeah. him back to Dr. Buster and finds out Pierre could fly.
Yeah.
But he's got a bond and he won't.
Yeah. Dr. Buster tells him he's bonded to you and you don't fly, so he doesn't need to fly. And that's, you know, Doug says, so in order for Pierre to fly, I have to fly. And then cut to, we have a hot air balloon.
Yeah. And so then, yeah, everybody's there except for
Holly,
because she's not,
mm-hmm.
not involved. And he can't go up there. He can't do it. He can't.
Yeah, and they,
And then he gets scared as they're taking.
Yeah.
Because the duck is so upset that it's leaving him. So sweet. But yeah, so they end up not.
Doug panics, like, as Pierre is getting. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, because Dr. Buster has Pierre, like, they're in the basket, like, they're going up. And they get up probably about 50 feet. And that's when, like, Doug starts panicking. It's like, no, bring, like, I'm not comfortable.
Well, and
like,
to be fair, Pierre down. Is flapping, like, wanting to get down, too. Pierre does not want to be.
Yeah, but it's hard to interpret what that is. In
I'm saying
animal.
That's
yeah.
what it's trying to be. Because yeah. that's why he panics, is because.
Because Pierre is looks, flapping furiously.
Pierre looks yeah. terrified. In his mind, Pierre looks terrified because he talks to Pierre and
it's
Pierre
like
answers
to,
him.
To him, Pierre is terrified because he is terrified.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are times he talks to Pierre and he acts like he can understand Pierre.
Right.
And so I enjoy that friendship aspect of things. But so then he goes to dinner with Susan.
Yeah. We do have a little interlude here where we find out that Taylor actually kind of misses Doug.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. And so then he goes to dinner with Susan and he realizes within 5 minutes of being with Susan that he doesn't want to be with Susan.
Yeah.
But Craig feels really guilty because Craig finds out that he might be getting back together with Susan. He's like, no, he can't get back together with her. It's not right. Oh, I'm going to call him. He doesn't answer his phone because he left it in the car with the duck. So Craig jumps on his bike and bikes over and tries to be a good friend because he could have just said nothing, would have had the same result. But so Craig runs in and says, I slept with her. And Doug's just like, okay, did anyone in the restaurant not hear that? Great. but he's like, that's great, because I don't want this anyway, so that's fine, whatever. It's a very non-reveal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't.
And so that's when he steals Craig's bike, and we get bicycle.
Well, like there,
because his car is being
paid. there's a couple of little beats in here that I wanted to touch on, which is before the dinner that Doug says it, but I have the line of like, why do I feel like I'm cheating on someone?
Holly's before he goes in.
Yeah, it's like Holly's great, but I love Susan, right? Yeah. It's like he's totally unsure.
He's talking to Pierre at that moment.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. And then like the moment that's kind of the clincher right before that, realizing like, oh, we're never, ever, ever getting back together. One, it's because Susan is already planning, like, oh, you've made this change and you're planning to sell your house. It's like, so we should get an apartment overlooking the waterfront, and then, like, you'll get a Beamer and all of these things. And then I took the liberty of ordering you an entree. And, like, she ordered duck.
Because she doesn't know. But the look on his face when that duck arrives, like, he's going to be sick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's going to vom. He's got the yarts.
That's when he knows.
And that's when Craig rushes in, yeah. And that's
Well, he actually says no before Craig rushes in.
Yeah, he does say, yeah, it's like, it's too little too late.
Yeah.
Susan
ordered him duck.
Yeah.
But then we get that his car is being towed, so we have the rom-com chase, but it's with a duck.
It's for Pierre.
But we get the queen bicycle, because he chases on a bike.
Ride my bicycle.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, he gets Pierre, he goes to Holly's.
And Holly shuts him down, like we talked about a little bit already.
Yeah, she shuts him down, but I do love in this whole conversation, like, the line that that Holly says is, I thought you were decent, but you're just a bloke who's too scared to fly with a duck that can't.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the truth. He is. He's terrified of letting go of, with Susan, what he had to fly and soar with Holly.
Yes. To extend the metaphor.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
I actually wrote that down because I'm that type of person.
I love you, you nerd.
But then, so then he is out working and everybody's like, don't give up. Two or three of the guys are like, don't give up.
The guys are cheering him on. Yeah.
She'll come around. Just keep going. And he's like, no, you weren't there. It's done. And then there's just been this whole, like, recurring gag with this.
With a mower. With a mower that won't work.
And it's gotten away from Brent before. It gets away from him now, but they're on a cliffside now.
Mm-hmm.
And it chases Pierre off the side of the cliff, but Pierre flies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the moment.
Like,
it flies away.
It's heartbreaking watching Reese Darby's face during that scene, because he's just like, oh, damn, I'm having feelings about a duck.
Yeah.
Like, it's good.
And so as he is cleaning up his house and unduckifying it.
Yes.
Taking the water out of the kiddie pool. And he sees the moon and something clicks.
Yes.
And then we get big romantic gesture.
Yes, big romantic gesture. We have Doug shows up to an event at the zoo dressed in an astronaut suit.
But I will say, the shooting of this is awesome. Like, it is, like, I'm a big fan of, like, they did it to Flash.
Yeah.
Whoa. And they've got the lights going behind him. And it's just, and he's in this, like, astronaut, not costume, outfit.
Yeah.
Walking across as it's happening. And then the comedy kicks in because nobody can hear or understand what he's saying.
I did love that. Like, I loved some of those. It was almost a little bit like Abbott and Costello, of the, because like nobody can hear him with the helmet on, and he's like, he's telling Holly, I want to take you to the moon, and Taylor is there between them. He's saying something about a monsoon.
He wants to take you to, it was an M, but I can't remember what it was.
I don't remember.
But she's like, I don't want to go there.
And finally, no, he's saying something about Mumbai.
And so finally he gets the helmet off and he's like, I want to take you to the moon. And she walks up and slaps him.
Oh yeah.
Which was great. I liked that twist. And then all the other women are like, oh, I heard one in the background go, my husband would never do that. That just cracked up. It's like, my husband would never come dressed as an astronaut. That's not a thing he would
do. I heard that my husband would never dress in a spacesuit. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she ends up giving in and they get back together. There's a kiss.
So some of the dialogue I love, you know, he says, you know, I want to take you to the moon. And she says, you can't take me to the moon, Doug. And he admits, I'm a spineless jerk. You were right. I'm just a man with a duck, but Pierre's gone. He flew. And if he can fly, and he tells her, he's like, I'm falling in love with you. And that's, you know, she goes off at him, like, you think you can just turn up here, say you love me, and everything will be okay. Smack!
Yeah.
And that was for embarrassing me. Then she kisses him.
And like, says that was
for embarrassing me.
And then he's like, you're right, I can't take you. Or then he's like,
I can't take you to the moon, but I can get you close.
And he points, and there is Dr. Buster
with the hot air balloon.
And that's where the movie ends, is them and Taylor going up in the hot air balloon.
Yeah.
And then the lip sync video afterward, which is fantastic.
Yes. I did love the lip sync. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, you caught the when they're up in the balloon, you hear a duck honk,
and then you see
you notice it's a pair.
Yeah,
there's two of them. Yeah, yeah, it's silhouetted like a pair of birds because it had been brought up, and this is one of the things that to enhance the metaphor that that Pierre, like, his type of bird, like, that they mate for life, yeah. And so. It's a whole thing of Pierre, like, now he's all alone, just like Doug is all alone.
Yeah.
And so just to have that little bit at the end of, it's not just like we hear a duck squawk and we don't just see the silhouettes of one bird. We see two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Subtitle this movie, Man Over-Identifies with Duck. Like,
yes.
So yeah, it was enjoyable. There was a lot of really enjoyable moments, but the story was a little paint by numbers.
Yeah, which I fully expected it to be.
Yeah,
it's like, it's a love story with a duck. Like, it was not gonna break new ground.
Yeah, I will tell you, my notes say, don't understand the Craig subplot at all. Felt completely unnecessary. That is like my first note at the end of the movie.
Yeah, I didn't get it. I didn't get Craig.
So do they stay together?
I think so.
I think so too, because
I absolutely do.
With a kid in the mix, I kind of always root for them to stay together. It's always a,
well, just even without Taylor in the mix, like, mm-hmm. I feel like there's a shot.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, it's, I think it's because this is one of the few movies, because there aren't a ton of rom-coms out there, like, where, like, single parent rom-coms.
No, there aren't.
I can't think, like, I know they exist. I just can't think of them off the top of my head.
Definitely Maybe.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of that movie. So
I like that movie, but
I know it's on our, I probably just wasn't in the right mood for it the day that I saw
it's
it.
It's fine. I'm just saying that's the first one that pops into my head.
I think because I had seen The Proposal first, Definitely Maybe felt like a letdown.
That's fair.
But in terms of, like, single mother.
I know there's some.
There's Maid in Manhattan, but her son doesn't really enter into that at all.
Not really.
This feels like him genuinely, like, he's genuinely making the effort not just to fall in love with her, but to fall in love with her kid too. And you're scanning your movies right now looking for other single parent rom-coms.
It's not a single mom, but
what?
The Holiday. It's the, like, I don't really love that side of the story, but I really enjoy the Jude Law with the little girl scenes. They're really cute.
But again,
the kids don't matter as much. Yeah.
Yeah. The kids don't matter. Like, the
kids are an obstacle, not a,
the kids are an accessory for his character.
They're an obstacle for their couple.
Yes.
But that's it.
But again, like, that seems to be the case with, like, single dad. Like, I can't think of, like, single...
I'm looking. I know that there are some, but I can't think of them off the top of my head.
Yeah, I know. Like, we could take to Google, but we don't feel like doing that right now. So it's not important for the moment. We'll table that discussion for when we
Come across one.
Yeah, until we come across one. But how would you rate this movie?
I'm going to go 2.5.
Yeah, same here.
I almost went 3 for the soundtrack. Like, in between, because the soundtrack is so on point.
Yes.
And so good, and it's Queen, and we're both Queen fans.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really on board with the soundtrack. And so, like, I was like, it almost pushes it up.
For me, I thought about giving it a 3 just because I find Rhys Darby so damn charming. And this is the first thing I've ever seen him in, like, where he, like, played, like, a lead, much less playing a romantic lead. So I loved that. And yeah, the soundtrack, like, yeah, I thought about a 3, but I'm like, it's not a horrible movie. Like, there aren't,
it's not How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. There's more character development than that.
That reminded me, there was a time in this movie where I legitimately, like, they did throw a curveball on me of, I wasn't, like, I was thinking it was going to be a How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I was like, we are only ever going to see her at the zoo. Like, she's going to have no life of her own. And then the curveball of, oh, wait, no. She has a home and a kid and, like, a very established life. It pleasantly surprised me. But I literally, like, after the first couple of times where, you know, where we were talking of, like, it cutting back to a random conversation between her and Brenda.
Yeah.
I really, really thought of, like, she's just going to be, like, I kept expecting her to be Adam Sandler in 50 First Dates. Like, you only ever see her at the zoo with her birds.
Yeah.
And dating him. Like, that's it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, like, that's fully what I was expecting, so it didn't happen. But yeah, I don't think it commits any, like, really horrible sins. Like, it's just, to quote one of my favorite podcasts that nobody in the world listens to but me, Podcast Without Pretense, they use the phrase of, you know, this movie's only sin was, like, just being dull, or, you know, or in the case of, like, watching a terrible comedy, like, this movie's sin was, like, not being funny. Like, this, like, it's not a terrible movie. Like, it's not, I don't think it, you know, it doesn't commit any, like, hugely egregious sins. It the sin that it commits is just being blah. Like, it's just a bland movie. Like,
it's okay, but it's not.
Yeah. Great. It's okay. Like, it doesn't break any new ground. Like, if you love Rhys Darby or Sally Hawkins, like, absolutely give it a go.
Or, like, if you like New Zealand, because
if you like New Zealand, if you love Queen, like, watch it for the soundtrack.
Yeah,
there are enjoyable things to it. You know, you won't necessarily feel like you wasted your time. Like, there are plenty of movies that I rage quit. Like, this wasn't one of them.
It's like I said at the beginning, it's more moment than movie.
Yeah, it's absolutely more moment. It's all. That's a good way to put it. I was going to try to expand on that. I'm like, nah, never mind. That's fine. Put the nail in it. That one's done. So, do you have anything else to add, my darling?
That's all for me.
All right. I have nothing else either. So that'll get it for this episode of Couch Buddies. We will catch you next time.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of Couch Buddies, why not leave us a rating and review over on iTunes? And while you're at it, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your podcast app so you never miss an episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us by searching on social media. We're Couch Buddies Pod on Twitter, on Tumblr at couchbuddies.tumblr.com, and you can email us at couchbuddiespod@gmail.com.